Ashe. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. And I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning into the show. Today's show, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by the new clothing line at HigherLifeClothing.com. Get your gear up. Get your clothing game up. Check out HigherLifeClothing.com for that fly urban gear so you can step out in the streets suited and booted real fly with your game. And today's show is also brought to you by MacLessons.com. That's where you can go to step up your game with all my pay-per-view specials that will really help you out in your relationship and your social game. And also, HiddenColorsFilm.com. That's where you can go to get the official copy of the hit, critically acclaimed documentary, Hidden Colors. HiddenColorsFilm.com. And speaking of Hidden Colors, ladies and gentlemen, we raised all the funding that we needed on Kickstarter, and I like to thank everybody who became involved with the fundraising of Hidden Colors 2. I just got back in a few days ago from traveling around the country doing the majority of the interviews. I have a couple of more interviews that I'm probably going to do, but we've done most of the interviews for Hidden Colors 2, and we're going to start editing pretty soon. And I'd like to, again, thank everybody who became producers, people who donated, people who became involved. I love when we can all get together, get on the same page, and make things happen. And Hidden Colors 2 is going to be a doozy. I can't wait for you guys to see it. My other movie, The Eugenist, I think that's going to come out before Hidden Colors 2. Because The Eugenist, we're in the middle of doing the edits for that as well. Now, let me put on some Mackie music, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to talk about our sister, Whitney Houston, shortly. We're going to talk about her in a second. But like I was saying, The Eugenist, that's coming soon. I know a lot of people are asking about the horror movie that I did, The Eugenist. We're getting that real tight, real crisp. And you guys can go to TheEugenist.com to check that out. Shout out to everybody on the UnitedPlayersOfAmerica.com website. Shout out to all the players on there. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, follow me on Twitter. If you're not following me on Twitter, so you can stay abreast to what's going on, Twitter.com/Tariq Nasheed. And you know how to spell my name. TariqNasheed. But anyway, so on today's show, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about our sister Whitney Houston passed a few days ago, and a lot of people are talking about the death of Whitney Houston, and I want to give my thoughts on that. You know what, I talked about this on Ustream the other night, when I want to revisit it here for all the ladies and gentlemen who listen to the Mac Lessons Radio Show and give my take on the situation. Now, what they're saying, that Whitney Houston, they're saying that she died at the Beverly Hills Hotel a couple of days ago. What day was it? It was Saturday. This past Saturday. They said that she drowned in the... It was all types of reports coming out. There's not a definitive answer. Some people say it was like prescription drugs. She took some prescription drugs and she fell asleep and fell asleep underwater. Just a lot of conflicting stories that's going on. And my thing is, I don't want to sound too much like a conspiracy theorist, which I don't mind sounding like that, because sometimes we need to be more conspiratorial. We need to know or look deeply into certain things to kind of see what's going on and not take things for face value all the time. You understand what I'm saying? Not taking things for face value sometimes is a good thing. Being too conspiratorial, that could be a negative thing. But it's always good to look at situations from different angles. And with the Whitney Houston death, there are a lot of red flags. Now, we're just going to look at possibilities. Now, is it possible that Whitney Houston was doing fine and she had a prescription drug overdose, or she fell asleep and drowned in a tub? That is definitely possible. That possibility is there, but there are many other possibilities that we need to look into. And again, these are just possibilities. If you're trying to look at a crime or a death, and if it looks accidental, you take that in, but a good crime investigator will always look at other possibilities, not just take everything for face value. That's the thing that makes you thorough. So we're going to have to look at some of these possibilities, and that's what we're going to get into tonight. Now, a lot of people were saying when they first heard she died, they were like, oh, it was the crack, 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 crack. And that was the whole thing. People talking about, oh, it's the crack. She died of cocaine. It was the illegal drugs. And I knew that wasn't the case, because if she died because of crack overdose, they would have immediately known what was going on. When they did the initial reports of Whitney Houston dying, nobody knew the cause of death. They didn't release the cause of death because they were still investigating. Crack, if you don't really die because of crack. I know they say crack kills, but you really don't die because of crack. You got to do a lot of it, and it speeds your heart up, and you'll have a heart attack or cardiac arrest. That's how you die, because of crack. It starts fucking with your heart. Your heart speeds up and all that old bullshit. But you get overdoses from, like, shooting up stuff, putting a lot of stuff in your veins and your bloodstream like that. That's probably how Amy Winehouse died. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about the ins and outs of the Amy Winehouse death, but she was doing more than crack. She was doing all types of stuff. But when they said the crack and all that, I knew it wasn't a crack overdose. You just don't crackhead. People who are on crack just don't die like that. That's why they're old crackheads. You have crackheads who've been around for years. All you people in the black folks out there in your neighborhood, there's a crackhead that you've probably seen for about the last 20 years. Besides missing teeth and being skinny, they got the most energy in the world. They ain't going nowhere. Crackheads only die because of gunshots or, you know, getting ran over by a car or some shit. It's never no natural death. Crack is almost like embalming fluid. That shit keeps you alive. But I digress. But the thing is, let's just look at some of these possibilities and just look at what's going on. My thing is, there are red flags here with the whole Whitney Houston death. There are red flags. Things just don't seem right. And if things don't seem right, we need to look at certain possibilities. And I'm the kind of person, I don't trust nobody. I don't put nothing past anybody. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. I look at everything. And the thing is, I just find it very strange that a lot of black artists have been just falling dead lately. Have y'all noticed that? A lot of black artists just die out the blue. Really in the last couple of years, especially in the last year. It really started with Michael Jackson. When Michael Jackson died, that just threw everybody off, and that was a strange thing. And we're going to look at the correlations between Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston, but just not just Michael Jackson. Let's look at 2011 alone. It's just very strange that all these black artist, and I mean icons, iconic artists, or very influential people who were very influential to the music game, like Heavy D, he was a very influential rapper. Nick Ashford died. Etta James. Nate Dogg. Vesta Williams. Gil Scott-Heron. Very influential brother. Very conscious brother. Sister by the name of Sylvia Robinson. Sylvia Robinson was very, very, very instrumental in the hip-hop world. She was an R&B artist, and she started Sugar Hill Records. Very influential sister in the hip-hop game. The early hip-hop music industry owes a lot to Sylvia Robinson. She produced the first major rap record. Rapper's Delight, Sugar Hill Gang. Very influential sister. Now Whitney Houston. And Don Cornelius. Don Cornelius was a very influential brother, man. And I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Don Cornelius, y'all have to understand how important the Soul Train catalog is. The Soul Train catalog is a very important catalog because you basically have live performances of every black group within the last 40 years. It's a very powerful thing to have. The guy just ends up dead. So I like to look at the common denominator for a lot of things. It seems like something happens to black artists to kind of prevent them from passing down whatever wealth they accumulate. If you notice that, I mean, just let's really think about this stuff. It just seems like something happens to black artists that will stop them from passing their wealth down to their next generation. It's a very strange thing. And this goes back into the 1950s. See, in the 1950s, they were blatant about shitting on a black artist back then. They would just blatantly shit on them. They're like, look, I know you wrote all these songs, but you ain't getting shit. Fuck you. We're going to give your songs to Elvis and Pat Boone. And if you don't like it, get the hell on up out of here because you ain't supposed to be here after 6 o'clock anyway. This is a sundown town. And nigga, this is the colored entrance and the white entrance. You're not even supposed to be in here. It was that type of vibe. They just shit on the black artists and tell them to get out their office. Just go. Yeah, we shit it on you, but what you gonna do about it? Now get on up out of here before we call the police on you. It was that type of vibe. So a lot of artists from the 1940s and 50s, especially in the 50s when the record industry really started to take off, they shitted on those black artists. That's why most of them broke. Now, in the 60s, things changed a little bit. They became more business-oriented. Some of the artists became a little more business-oriented. They became more conscious of their catalogs, especially in the mid to late 60s, right when the civil rights thing popped off. So they couldn't just blatantly fuck over an artist like they did in the 1950s. Which they still did in many cases, but again, some of the artists became a little more business savvy, and they were influential, and they knew their influence. So, right around the mid to late 1960s, a lot of the influential artists, black artists, would just start ending up dead. They just have these random deaths. Now, it could be just normal, but it's a strange coincidence. You had people like Sam Cooke, very influential brother. I think Sam was about to start his own record label and get his own publishing company, from what I understand. I've heard rumors of that over the years, and he ended up getting shot at a motel down in South Central LA somewhere. Otis Redding, very influential brother. Worldwide, internationally known and loved. That brother was very powerful. Otis Redding was the shit. Brother died in a car, an airplane crash. Another brother, Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix, very influential dude. Jimi Hendrix started all that hard rock shit. All that hard rock, distorted guitar stuff. Most of these cats got it from Jimi Hendrix. He was very influential. This guy had a real mysterious death. So a lot of the black artists started to just die off very randomly. A lot of the influential ones started to die off with questionable deaths in the late 1960s. See, the thing is, man, there's money in these music catalogs. And again, I don't put nothing past anybody. I always look at the possibility. There's always a possibility of foul play going on. And the thing is, music catalogs can generate money forever. Especially with those guys back then in the 50s and 60s, those songs still sell to this day. Those were hot songs. Owning a song catalog is a very, very important investment. And people take that investment seriously. And I did a whole show about Michael Jackson owning these catalogs, and we saw what happened to Michael. They straight up off Michael. Because those catalogs, they keep earning more appreciation year after year after year, and it becomes worth billions over a period of time. So these music catalogs are extremely important. And the thing is, you know, with black artists, they keep black artists on the leash. That's one thing they try their best to do, is to stop black artists from owning their catalogs or keeping their catalogs or passing their catalogs down. Just like with Death Row Records, with Suge. Suge was very adamant about holding on to the Death Row catalog. Was very adamant about owning the masters, very adamant about that. Now some other company owns Death Row now. But there was a lot of stuff that they were doing over there at Death Row Records that they shouldn't have been doing, to really have them drop the hammer on them quicker. But I'm just saying that people will go out of their way to get that catalog from those black artists, their music catalog, so they don't have any kind of ownership, so they won't be able to pass that down. Because that's a very powerful thing. They don't want you to get too much wealth as far as that. The music industry is controlled by a very small group of people. The entertainment industry is controlled by a very small group of people. So we have to look at these possibilities. What will these people do? What lengths will they go to maintain the power that they have? And they will go to far-fetched lengths. But y'all have to look at many of the very influential black artists. Look and see what has happened to them, or what has people tried to do to them. What have people tried to do to them over the years? Just like James Brown. I think they tried to get at James Brown. James Brown was a very influential music artist, but James Brown was crazy as cat shit, so they probably couldn't get to James Brown. James Brown started rolling around with guns and start running from the police. He was crazy as cat shit. They're like, let's leave that nigga alone. That's probably why they didn't get at James Brown soon enough. I think James Brown, I think they banned him from Las Vegas. I would hear that a lot. I think they banned him from performing in Las Vegas because he got on stage and cussed out all the white folks. Some shit he did. James was crazy as cat shit. But James was about his paper. And I don't think James let them get over on him. But you got to be crazy like that to keep these motherfuckers off you sometimes. But the thing is, let's look at our sister Whitney Houston right now. Let's bring it back to our sister. Our sister Whitney Houston just died out of the blue. Whitney was fine a couple of days ago. They're showing interviews of her, pictures of her going out, partying and kicking it and all that. So she didn't look like she was depressed or anything. So some of the media people are trying to almost make it look like a suicide or whatever. But Whitney was functioning a few days ago. She was happy. If she was high or not, who knows? But it seems very strange that this sister would just end up dead overnight, just like this, just randomly. And when she died, they had a party at the same hotel she was staying in the Beverly Hills Hotel. Arista Records had a party, and Chaka Khan, the singer, she's been going around the media doing interviews saying how she didn't like the fact that they had a party, and I don't blame her. So a couple of people are speaking out. They're saying some of this shit don't look right. And it does not look right. As a matter of fact, let me play a real quick clip of Chaka Khan talking about the party that they had at the hotel the night Whitney died. All right. Now here it is right here.
You were, I think, going to go to the Clive Davis party.
Yes.
It was a surreal event where Whitney's body was still in the hotel, and there was this sort of party where apparently half the room were in tears, the other half were kind of parting. What did you feel about that?
I thought that was complete insanity. And knowing Whitney, I don't believe that she would have said, the show must go on. She's the kind of woman that would say, stop everything. I'm not going to be there. You know? I don't know what could motivate a person to have a party in a building where the person whose life he had influenced so enormously and whose life had been affected by her, so they were like, I don't understand how that party
went. I had Clive Davis by pure chance in here on Friday night.
Okay, so that's basically the gist of the clip. They go on and on and on, but again, it just seems real funny style. Let me put my Mac and music back on, ladies and gentlemen. It just seems real weird, and it seems funny style. So we have to take all this stuff in and just see what the motivation is. What's going on here? Let's put some of these pieces of these puzzles together because something don't look right. You partying when one of your biggest artists just died. You partying like everything is cool. If your artists die, you would shut everything down. I know if I'd shit. If something happened to me, don't y'all niggas party for shit. If anything happened to me, don't y'all have a damn party. I'm letting y'all know now. If something happened to me, y'all better go get a chicken and a goat and sacrifice them bitches and do some voodoo and bring me back. Don't have y'all ass at the club. Y'all niggas better light some candles and be like, hey, la boko sha. Y'all do something, bring me back. Fuck that. But just this stuff seems weird. It seems very weird. And the thing is, man, truth be told, a lot of artists are worth more money dead than they are alive. Let's get real deep. Can we get deep, ladies and gentlemen? People, let's look at some facts. The record industry has taken a hit over the years. The record industry right now is suffering. The record industry is going through some shit right now. This is why they're creating all these pop artists. They're getting rid of R&B music altogether. They just had the Grammys, and a lot of people were complaining that the Grammys was soulless. It was the pop show. There's no R&B groups. There's no soul groups. No recognition of jazz. No quote-unquote real music. Like pop bubblegum music is what's being promoted. And black artists are just being pushed to the background. Especially black singers, people who can really sing. There hasn't really been a real R&B record out in years. Soul music. So they're pushing that shit out the door. They got this white woman, what's her name, Adele, something like that. This chubby white woman who won about 6 Grammys. They get a couple of white folks who kind of sound black, and that's black music right now. You dig what I'm saying? So they're getting rid of black music as we know it. And I can get into the metaphysical aspect of that, but that's another show. But again, the record industry has taken a hit. So they need to generate sales. They need to do what they can do to get big sales. And how do you get big sales? You get big sales from iconic artists who are martyrs, so to speak. A lot of times when an artist dies in their prime, their catalog becomes very big. Or die, not even in their prime, but if they have an untimely death, the catalog becomes very valuable, just like with Elvis. Elvis's catalog popped off because the guy had an untimely death. See, it's different when an artist... it's older and they die. Look, for example, the sister Etta James. The Etta James, she had hits in the 1960s, but as she got older, when she died, her catalog didn't become more valuable because she was an older woman when she died. You understand what I'm saying? So if an artist is like 80 or 90 years old and they die, that's not going to bring any value to their catalog. It will spruce up sales to a certain degree, but when an artist dies at a very young age, like Jimi Hendrix, like Janis Joplin back in the 60s, when they died, their catalog just shot up. The popularity and the worth of it increased. And I think that's the same thing with our sister. Even let's look at some of the rap artists. When Tupac and Biggie died, their catalog increased. They became martyrs. They became icons. And they do movies and specials. And they've done so many documentaries about Tupac. It's insane. So they make a lot of money. Even when your record isn't hot no more, if you're a martyr in the game, if they've martyred you, made it seem like the industry destroyed you, you become a martyr, and then they turn around and worship you. See, they do that with a lot of things, just like with civil rights leaders, like Dr. Martin Luther King. He's a martyr. They represent him as an icon now after death, because after death, they can control your image and they can control your influence. See, y'all have to understand, they didn't like Dr. Martin Luther King when he was alive. These people couldn't stand Dr. Martin Luther King. They couldn't stand Malcolm when he was alive. But when they die, you can control that image and market the image, and you're going to generate the money for yourself, because that money isn't going nowhere to the black community. So these people martyr them, and after they die, they market them and make them icons and do little specials and shows about them, name certain things after them, and it's non-threatening, it's not a problem. And I think they might have done the same thing with Sister Whitney Houston. They definitely did it with Michael Jackson. See, what they'll do, they'll get a black artist. And again, remember, they don't want you to really pass down that wealth. So even if you're a very valuable artist, you're worth $100 million here, $100 million there, when you start to seem like you're getting out of hand or out of control, they'll start tarnishing your image. Just like with Michael Jackson, he started to get out of control. With Whitney, she started to, quote unquote, get out of control. You couldn't contain her. She would say whatever was on her mind. She would call up radio stations, cuss motherfuckers out. She would say what was on her mind. You couldn't, quote unquote, control her. She, you know, had dated Bobby. And they did the same with Bobby. They started shitting on the brother Bobby when he became very influential. When Bobby was very influential in the 90s, he was the quote-unquote bad boy, I do whatever I want. And what they did, they demonized him in the media and tarnished his image and made him seem difficult to work with. And when he put out records, they stopped promoting his records like they should have promoted. Just like with Whitney Houston. They stopped promoting her records properly. They could have promoted Whitney's records properly to keep her back on top of the charts, but they keep you in a certain position to keep you in check, to keep you in control. Whitney Houston, y'all notice over the last few years, they've been putting out these negative stories about her. Crack this, crack this, crack this, crack that. She can't sing no more. People are booing her, which people weren't really booing her, and they were putting extras on many of her performances, saying that people were walking out and leaving. That's a bunch of bullshit. In some instances, they may have walked out of one of her, a few people may have left or been upset about her concerts, but Whitney singing wasn't that bad to make motherfuckers just bounce and leave. But they kept putting out these stories like, oh, her concerts are horrible. And, you know, they were saying this, and I want y'all to peep game. They were saying this so she could make her money on the concert lecture tour, because that's where a lot of artists make their money. If the record industry fucks over you, the thing you can do is still go out there on the road and you can handle your business. You can still tour and become very wealthy on the road still, or remain very wealthy on the road. That's what Prince does. Prince, the artist Prince, he hasn't had a hit record out in, what, 20 years, but Prince can go sell out a venue overnight. Frankie Beverly can sell out a venue at any time. And they haven't had a record out since the 80s, not a hit record. So that's what they do. So with Whitney, what they did to fuck up her tour money, start putting out negative things about her tours. Oh, guys, you don't want to go to her concert. She gives a bad performance. She can't sing. Her voice is cracking. She doesn't have it anymore. That was propaganda. They were shitting on our sister. because they didn't say that about Amy Winehouse, and Amy Winehouse would go on stage and this motherfucker couldn't even talk. But they never said anything negative about her performances like that. Amy Winehouse would get on stage and just walk around for 45 minutes mumbling. And you didn't hear about people walking out. And you didn't hear about that with Amy Winehouse. But they made a point to say that about Whitney Houston every chance they got. They're very slick with that, man. Y'all have to, we got to start peeping game and see where people are coming from with their agenda. But the thing is, man, Whitney Houston, our sister, they were demonizing her in the media just like they were doing with brother Michael Jackson. Let's look at the parallels with Michael Jackson. They were uncontrollable. Michael was uncontrollable. Whitney was uncontrollable. Michael was doing his own thing. Whitney was doing her own thing. They start saying that Michael's albums aren't that good no more. His concerts are this. Whitney Houston's albums aren't that good anymore. They would say the same thing about Whitney. Then they start putting out the stories about them being broke. They were saying that Michael was broke. They were saying that Whitney was broke. Oh, Whitney was broke. Whitney was broke. Whitney wasn't really broke. They said that about Tupac. Remember that? They would say that Tupac was broke. Those are smoke screens. They say all that so when they fuck you over and take your catalog and take your music and take all your royalties and everything owed to you, the stories of you being broke, that's already out there. So it won't seem like they rip you off. You understand what I'm saying? Because when they fuck you, they won't fuck you good. And then when they find out that your family has no money, well, they're like, well, damn, shit, Michael was broke. Whitney was broke. I heard she was broke. So you got to really peep game. And now with Whitney dead, all of a sudden, the record sales are going to go through the roof. There's definitely going to be a book out, or a few books. There's going to be a whole bunch of books out, by the way. And I talked about this on Ustream. By next week, I almost guarantee there's going to be a Whitney Houston book out. Because when Michael Jackson died, they had a Michael Jackson book out about his death 2 weeks after he died. Which is very strange, because it takes a long time to write a book. That's 2 weeks to write a book right after a motherfucker dies and have it published, edited, and basically in all the stores within a matter of 2 weeks. It's very strange. There's a guy named Ian something. I talked about him on Ustream. Ian somebody, he had that book out about Michael Jackson 2 weeks after he died. And this was the same guy who predicted 6 months earlier that Michael Jackson would die. Do your research about that. A guy named Ian something. I can never remember his name, but he wrote something 6 months before Michael died saying that Michael Jackson was going to die. Like, how did he know? Real deep stuff. And iTunes kind of got in trouble the other day, right when Whitney Houston died. iTunes started to jack up the prices of her songs, and people called them out on that. And then iTunes put out a press release saying that it was a mistake in the system and all that old bullshit. But they got caught being slick, jacking up the prices of her music. So again, Whitney Houston records are going to sell through the roof. There's definitely going to be a Whitney Houston life biography movie coming out sometime soon. There's going to be a movie about her life that's going to go through the roof. I mean, they're going to really make Whitney Houston an icon, and the Whitney Houston business is going to kick into overdrive right now. And that's what they're going to start doing to a lot of black artists. They're going to start martyring them and making them icons when they're dead so they can make money off of them. You understand what I'm saying? So we got to start waking up to that. We got to wake up to the game. And watch out when they start saying that a particular artist is broke. They try to make it seem like they're hitting rock bottom so they can off themselves. Because the whole drown in the tub thing, that shit is weird. And the whole prescription drug thing. What's up with these prescription drugs and people dying? Michael Jackson died of prescription drugs. See, they sit up and talk all this stuff about people being drug addicts, but it's the prescription drugs that's killing them. Why is that? Y'all know all these stories about Michael Jackson. They kept talking about he was a drug addict, he's a drug addict. But the drugs are prescription drugs. And they always talk about how Whitney's a drug addict, but the drugs that killed her was, they, I think they said Zoloft or some shit. It was prescription drugs. And who knows if they took, if Whitney Houston took a hot shot. Some tainted drugs, because you don't put that past nobody. These doctors that these celebrities go to, these doctors are on the take for the most part. Let me break that down, and I talked about that on Ustream, ladies and gentlemen. These doctors, man, are on the take. These doctors, man, if you pay them enough, they'll do anything. Man, if you pay these doctors enough, they will do anything, especially out here. These doctors are very unethical out here. Just like with Conrad Murray. Conrad Murray, he's going to jail now for involuntary manslaughter. But the thing is, I think somebody paid that dude off, and they knew that, again, he would only get a couple of years. So they pay him a little extra bucks, let him be the fall guy, let him do that little two-year bid, and he'll be out, and his finances will be straight. A lot of these doctors, man, you have to understand, they sell information about artists to TMZ and all these other tabloids to the Inquirer. How do you think TMZ and the National Inquirer knows all these people's medical business? Whenever some celebrity goes to the hospital or to a doctor or whatever, pretty soon all the medical information is in the TMZ or some kind of tabloid, Us Weekly or something. And that's illegal, actually, for them to do that, but they do it all the time. Doctors sell information to these tabloids. These doctors can be bought for a price. These doctors sell this information, and the way they tell the story, they make it seem like, you know, they have some kind of insider or whatever, but they never say specifically how they got the information. But these doctors sell medical information to all of these tabloids and people. So if these doctors are on the take, it's nothing for somebody on the top to step to one of these doctors and say, hey, look, I need you to do something else for us. I don't want you to sell no story. So your client is who? Your client is Michael Jackson. Oh, you have a client. Your client is Whitney Houston. So when you prescribe drugs to them, give them this. We'll give you a little something to do that. We'll give you $4-5 million to just change your prescription up and give them this. You think that won't happen? That absolutely will happen. The possibility of that happening is very real. Did it happen to Whitney? We don't know. It may or may not have. But I'm saying the possibility of that happening is very there, very real. That's extremely real. So you have to understand, man, when some of our artists are too influential and they're starting to make a lot of money and they seem like they're out of control, people on the top try to contain them and they try to tarnish their image. They try to start shitting on them. Same thing happened with Wesley Snipes. The same thing happened with our brother Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes was doing his thing, stacking his paper, very influential brother in the game. They started putting out these negative stories about Wesley Snipes to control him because the film industry, they were kind of shitting on him as far as Blade. And I think he tried to sue Universal to get some of his paper back. So that's when they turned on him. They're like, this nigga's getting too big for his britches. We're going to get him. And they started putting out all these crazy negative stories about Wesley Snipes. They had some shit about they were trying to make him take a paternity test because some crackhead chick said that he got her pregnant. They were saying that he was starting some kind of paramilitary organization down there in Edenton, Georgia. They were saying all types of stuff about Wesley. So Wesley smart, he wised up and he took his ass out the country. Wesley got wise and went over to Africa and started going over to other places to do movies. He got smart, but they did bring him back and got him on them taxes. But he knew the game. He was a few steps ahead of the game. So, you know, they got him locked down. He's going to be locked down for a couple of years. But at least the brother is alive for now. He knows what the game is. So remember, when it comes to wealthy, influential black artists, they have to control them. They have to keep them in a box. They have to keep them on a leash. Just like the same thing they're doing with Oprah Winfrey. Our sister Oprah Winfrey, she has the O Network. They've been trying to throw Oprah under the bus and sabotage the O Network ever since she started it. See, when she was doing the show making money for, you know, ABC or whatever she was on, that was all fine and dandy. But then when she branched off and said, okay, I'm going to start my own thing, get my own paper popping, get my own network popping, they've been shitting on Oprah. Sabotaging her show. Keep putting out media reports about how her show is not doing good, how her network isn't doing good. Every week you hear about how her network is doing bad, how the ratings are poor. Every week you hear that. And when you hear that, you think failure. You don't say that about a new network. Like when the WB was starting, the ratings were slow, but you didn't hear that every week. But with Oprah, every week you hear about how the ratings are low on her network. Also, a couple of days ago, Oprah got in trouble for tweeting to her fans that she wants them to watch her show, her new show on the old network. She tweeted that she wanted her fans to watch, and they got her in trouble. The Nielsen Ratings Corporation or something like that said that it was a violation for her to try to use outside influences to get people to watch this. It was some bullshit thing they came up with, and you guys can look it up. This just goes to show how they're trying to keep the sister on a leash when she's trying to do her own thing. So we have to look at all the possibilities here. So again, I bring that back to Whitney Houston. Trust no one. Look at all the possibilities, because this sister taking Zoloft, dying in a bathtub, that shit has red flags all over it. And me personally, I'm not quite buying that. Is it a possibility of that happening? Did that happen? The possibility is there, but I'm not quite buying that yet. So we're going to have to start looking into this stuff and take a lot of other things into consideration. That's all I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. I just want you to think outside the box. That's been today's episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to go to maclessons.com to get all your macking needs. I will keep everybody posted on the progress of Hidden Colors 2 and the editing and all that good stuff. I may do a Ustream show later on tonight, so you guys need to follow me on the Tariq Elite fan page. Go to Facebook, type in Tariq Elite fan page, follow me, and I'll keep you posted on the Ustream information. Holla.